This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. This is Molly.
And I'm Kristen.
And Kristen, today I thought we'd start with a listener email we got back in March.
Okay.
After our podcast on whether you need a period every month.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from Ginger who said that she was surprised that we didn't mention more of the negative side effects that someone experienced on birth control. You know, when Ginger was on birth control, I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning this, but we're not saying her last name. She suffered from horrible migraine headaches. She knows other women who experienced the same thing. There are a lot of emotional side effects. She described it as an emotional roller coaster.
Mm.
She had a friend who had to go off the pill because she was having panic attacks, and another friend whose husband almost left her because her mood was so affected by birth control that she was a different person.
Oh my goodness. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but you know, the one thing she didn't mention is a very common side effect of the birth control pill you often hear about, lowered libido.
Yeah, especially with the birth control pill, as you mentioned, as opposed to other types of female birth control methods, a lot more women seem to be voicing concerns over a diminished sex drive after being on the pill for a while. But if you look at the commonly listed side effects on a birth control packaging, the most common side effect you'll probably see is breakthrough bleeding or spotting. And then other side effects include nausea, headaches, breast soreness, acne, depression, moodiness, weight gain. And some doctors are concerned that women are not being informed before they get on the pill about the possibility of the lowered libido.
Right. And then other doctors will say, we probably shouldn't tell women because then they'll expect it. Is it a mind over matter thing? I mean, basically, when you take a birth control pill, and if you have, you know, an off week, immediately blame the pill for a lowered sex drive.
Mm-hmm. And it's not the best marketing tagline either.
No.
Hey, take this pill. Related to sex, you won't want to have sex anymore, but at least you won't get pregnant.
That's how birth control works.
So let's talk a little bit about this murky territory of oral contraceptives and sex drive, because as you and I have found out through our research, there's not a lot of conclusive evidence one way or the other. So let's talk about why.
That's true. Murky is the key word because they weren't even studying sexual dysfunction in women until very recently.
Mm-hmm. I think as early as like 1999. I mean, it was the first huge like nationwide study on female sexual dysfunction in the United States, which I found to be pretty astounding.
But there's been anecdotal evidence for, you know, many decades, as the New York Times points out. In an article by Mary Duenwald that, you know, women know, they might whisper to each other, mm-hmm. hey, if you're not in the mood, it might be a birth control pill.
Mm-hmm. And there was a study that came out in the Journal of Sexual Medicine that this article in the New York Times talks about that relates this potential diminished sex drive to the level of a certain protein in a woman's body that is caused by oral birth control.
Right. Basically, it all goes back to good old testosterone, the sex hormone. But here's how your pill might affect it. An oral contraceptive blocks testosterone production in the ovaries, but at the same time, it's increasing the production in the liver of a sex hormone binding mechanism called globulin. And basically what the globulin does is it attaches to all the free testosterone in your blood, which makes it inactive. And basically without any active testosterone, you can't get in the mood.
Yeah. And what scientists also found when they were looking at the levels of globulin in a woman's body who had been taking oral contraceptives, even after some women stopped taking birth control pills, the levels of globulin in their body were still much higher than it took a long time for it to even work its way kind of out of the body and for those levels to at least return back to slightly normal levels.
Right. So it was sort of a disappointing conclusion that even if you're getting off the pill because you have this lowered libido, you may not see effects for several months. But we should probably note that this study came out and not everyone bought into it.
No, this has been a pretty contentious study because a lot of scientists are still kind of hesitant to say that this single sexual side effect is really, you know, caused by oral birth control pills.
Right. They don't want to say just a single protein like globulin is responsible for all of this. But then when they try and pin the blame on something, it kind of, this is again where it gets murky. They're willing to blame everything.
Yeah. If you look at just general information about female sexual dysfunction, It runs the gamut. They basically say, well, you know, it could be anything. You could just be stressed out. You could have bad hormone levels. You could be in a stressful relationship, et cetera, et cetera. It's just kind of like, well, if you have a problem, go see your doctor because we can't really tell you what the problem is.
Yeah. And if you go see your doctor, basically what you would really need, is an hour to tell him everything that's going on with your life. But I don't think any doctor has an hour besides a psychologist. And that's just, you know, a 50-minute hour.
But even though there have been some divisions among experts about whether or not oral birth control really does diminish sex drive, there has been a few studies that do say, yes, this is a problem for women. And research conducted by the Kinsey Institute, it found that at least one in four users of oral contraceptives suffered from diminished sex drive. And there was one specific study that I found that looked at women who were on birth control for 3, 6, and 12 months and looked at the reasons why some of the women stopped taking oral contraceptives. And it found that of the 47% of women who discontinued oral birth control pills, the emotional side effects and decreased frequency of sexual thoughts and psychosocial arousability categorized 87% of the cases, like of the reasons why they stopped taking oral birth control. So it seems like from this Kinsey Institute study, this is having a pretty big effect on women ditching the pill.
Yeah. And anecdotal evidence that, you know, every single article on this will pick up the fact that, you know, the woman quit taking the birth control pill, life became better, the love life picked up. But then all of a sudden, you know, when your love life picks up, you need the pill. It's sort of a vicious cycle.
But then, on top of this Kinsey Institute study, we have another study published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology that says, well, you know what? Side effects aren't really a big factor for women quitting oral contraceptives. This was a similar type of study of women looking at 3, 6, 12 months of taking the birth control pill. And this study found that most subjects reported no changes in headaches, weight, moodiness, or sexual satisfaction during the first 3 months, and concluded that side effects are a less important reason for discontinuation than widely believed.
Right. And anecdotal evidence in all these articles will pick up on that, too. You'll have doctors in these articles saying things like, well, you're going to start taking a birth control pill and three things are going to happen. Your libido is going to go up, or your libido is going to go down, or it's going to stay the same.
And you know what, Molly? I think that's the same effect of, oh, I don't know, eating a serving of mashed potatoes one night.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll put you in the mood. Maybe it won't.
You
and
can
you'll
go
just
to a,
stay the same.
Yeah. We could go to a play. Same thing could happen.
Exactly.
Could go outside. The same thing will happen. There's just no telling. It's kind of frustrating to see how, you know, little people know about this.
And this was one of the biggest complaints from the Kinsey Institute, was that they were hearing all these anecdotes of women who were on oral birth control and having the diminished sexual side effects, but doctors, like you mentioned earlier, doctors weren't talking about it to their patients. It wasn't being mentioned very much in the literature surrounding oral birth control. And they thought it was a pretty big problem. So Molly, this made me wonder a little bit about female sexual dysfunction in general. Maybe this is just a symptom of a wider problem.
Right. And it's very hard to study sexual dysfunction, first of all, we should note, because what is normal? You know, there is no normal, like, number of times you should have sex a week, normal way to feel about sex. So it's very hard to study this, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Molly, I was so surprised to stumble on a University of Chicago study on sexual dysfunction in women that came out in 1999. And it concluded that about 40% of women and 30% of men in the United States suffer from sexual dysfunction. And I had no idea
that
the percentage would be that high. But even more fascinating to me was the finding that sexual dysfunction is the highest among younger women. It was 21% of the women in the study aged 18 to 29 reported physical pain with intercourse. 27% reported experiencing non-pleasurable sex, and 16% reported sexual anxiety.
Jeeves.
Yeah, and if you look at, think about that age group, 18 to 29, culturally that is the time when, you know, women are probably expected to have the most sex during their life.
Right, but who's telling us that? Popular culture.
Popular culture, yeah. I mean, I hate to go back to the age-old reference, but case in point, Sex and the City. You know?
Yeah.
It's a very popular show. These women are having sex all the time. You know, and so maybe things like that influence women to think, well, if they're not having sex like five times a week, then something's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
But Molly, as we found out from the Mayo Clinic, It might not be that.
It might not be that. You know, besides those numbers you just threw out there, Kristen, some of the other things I found interesting were the number of doctors who say that you shouldn't just immediately change your type of pill, because mm-hmm. that's what I'd always heard, that if you are having trouble with one type of birth control pill, try another one until you find one that works. But really they're saying what you should look at is other things that might be going into your system, like antidepressants. They can lower libido. Alcohol, even though you might think that it gets you in the mood, it ultimately dampens your sex drive. What else is going on in your life? Fatigue, stress, low self-esteem, relationship issues. So it might just not be the birth control pill, but they are saying that instead of pill hopping, you might want to choose another method of administering those hormones to your body. They're showing that method of the way the hormone is delivered makes a difference. So if mm-hmm. you're on something that's like the birth control shot or the NuvaRing, ways that which the hormones are just going into your body differently than by mouth, it might make a difference.
Yeah, and kind of going back to all of those reasons you were talking about that could be contributing to a diminished sex drive, one thing that I read from the Mayo Clinic that a woman's desire for sex is based on complex interaction of physical well-being, emotional well-being, experiences, beliefs, lifestyle, and current relationships. So basically every major factor of your life is contributing to your activity or lack of activity in the bedroom.
Yeah, it was sort of, it's a little bit overwhelming to basically be told, examine your entire life, including all your beliefs, thoughts, ideas,
relationships. But like you said, that doesn't mean that you just have to kick birth control. Since there are so many other methods out there right now, it might just be a matter of talking to your doctor about what's going on and seeing if you might be able to change things up a little bit. And the Mayo Clinic did recommend some lifestyle changes that it says can make a big difference in your desire for sex. And I think these can go for making a big difference in your quality of life in general, such as regular exercise, coping better with stress, being happier, because that's so simple to do. And this one, strengthening your pelvic muscles.
Right.
Kegels.
That's,
the Kegels.
That's always a good piece of advice. And the Mayo Clinic also gives us such relationship tips as make time for intimacy.
Yes.
Perhaps you're just not making enough time to experience the revving up of your sex drive.
Yeah, so.
So thanks for that, Mayo Clinic.
And you know what, Molly? I think beyond this, I don't think that we need to deliver much more sex advice for our listeners. I don't think that that's really our realm of expertise. So I would advise maybe, you know, going and talking to an expert if you have a problem.
Right. Talk to a doctor.
Yeah. But just remember, the thing I think, Molly, from all of this that I think you can take the most comfort from is what you said about there's no such thing as a normal amount of sex.
True.
Not everyone is Carrie Bradshaw.
True.
And thank God for that.
I don't know. I'd like her shoes.
True. Well, we want to hear from you guys. So if you have any questions or comments for me or Molly, or any suggestions about things that you would like to hear us talk about on Stuff Mom Never Told You, feel free to send us an email at momstuff@howstuffworks.com. And if you would like to learn more about the birth control pill, contraceptives, and sexual health in general, head on over to howstuffworks.com. For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.